We can know Jesus and we can grow in that relationship, but the reality is some will not grow in that relationship. They will choose to not value that relationship as much as they value things in this world. Some Christians and their value system will not see Christ like Paul sees Christ here.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today your message has one main point.
You're right, Dave. And that point is a true relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do we know if we have one? How do we know if we have the true knowledge of Jesus Christ? Well, let's take a look at our passage together. So open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verse 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
The Apostle Paul truly came to Jesus Christ. After weighing the facts, the reality of what he thought was gain, he saw it all as loss. And later on, we're going to see he sees it all as rubbish. Everything in light of knowing Christ. And notice it's for the sake of Christ, because, or literally because of Christ. It's because of Christ my attitude has changed towards my former confidence. You see, you can't come to faith in Jesus Christ without being fully confident in him. You can't come to him if you have confidence in anything else religiously. And his former confidence was in those things, but now he saw all of that as rubbish, as trash. You got to throw it out. Throw out those religious systems in your heart and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And that's the same way we walk day to day. We recognize that our own abilities, our own strength, our own talents, those things are nothing before the Lord. We trust in him, and if we allow him to use us from the inside, certainly, but we trust in the Lord. We trust in him in the same way we did when we came to faith. As you have received Jesus Christ, so walk in him. So with that in mind, we've seen the Apostle Paul's conversion. We've seen what's happened to him. He saw it all as loss. And I tell you, if you're putting confidence in anything else than Jesus Christ, you're going to experience great loss with the things that you think are a gain. You know, if you save your life, you're going to lose your own soul. You give up your life, your sinful life, which is just a lie anyway, in a sense, because it doesn't provide true joy or happiness or life. You give that up, you receive everything. You know, you may know the Lord, but does the Lord know you? We're going to see that it's a relationship. It's a relationship with the living God. And so let's take a look at his current mindset. I'm going to read verse 7, but verse 8 is what we're going to look at today. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Notice the Apostle Paul continually counted as loss everything, as we're going to see, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And we're going to see that nothing actually compares to the value of truly knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, what's interesting is in the Greek language, if you could read this, you'd see something very interesting. You'd see a compound of five Greek particles, ala, men, ge, ge, and kai. All these things that you can't see here. You only need one of those to transition, but he's got five of them. And you could say it like this: but rather, yes, indeed, therefore, even. There's something important here. And there's only a few other places where this is used. The Lord uses it to speak of his word. You know, those who follow him, that they obey the word of God. But yet, even then, he uses this word. So here he says, but yes, rather, indeed, even therefore, I count all things to be total loss. The things that he had just mentioned, he certainly includes. We'll look at that. He certainly includes those things. But here he adds the term all. He's including his former religiousness, as he's already counted as loss. But now it's present tense. I presently, continually count all things as loss on the value system of my heart in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. So what does he mean by the term all things? Well, again, it does include his former religious self-confidence, his self-righteousness, all those things. But actually, there's more to it. What does he mean by the term all things? You know, people that don't have the Spirit of God can get all mixed up and start seeing it all wrong. What does he mean by all things? In the middle of verse 8, we're going to see in detail in a minute that Paul shares, first of all, we'll share in general, but then we're going to see in detail what it is in light of a comparison here. He says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In light of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, Paul says everything else is loss. Everything. Everything in light of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. But what does that mean? What does this mean, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus? That helps us understand what all that loss is. This term surpassing value comes from the Greek two words put together, hooper, echo, which speaks of holding above. The holding above or surpassing value, it was used back in chapter 3 in which we are to hold others above ourselves. We're to see them as more important than ourselves. It's used later on in Philippians 4:7 to speak of the peace of God, which holds above or surpasses all comprehension. It's far above that. And so what's the point? Everything goes in the loss column in view of the overwhelming, surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. But what does he mean by that? You ask a lot of people, do you know Jesus? They say, yes, I do know Jesus. I know Jesus. But the question is, does the Lord know you? Do you have a relationship? On that day, many will say to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and this and this? Matthew 7. He'll say, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so here, what does it mean to know Christ? Well, if we understand this verb translated knowing here, it can actually be helpful. But actually here, it's not even a verb. It's a noun. It's a noun here. Now, although I prefer the NASB translation, here I believe the King James in the portion of this gets this more accurate. They write, of the knowledge, surpassing of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. But what does he mean by knowledge here? We need to understand this word, translated knowledge. In Greek, there are three basic words that are translated knowledge, and each one has a crossover, so you got to be careful you don't dice and slice it up too much. They can cross over, and each one can speak of knowledge in a general sense, but there are nuances in the Greek language, and for the first word is oida in the Greek. It speaks of, in a sense, an intellectual knowledge, knowledge gained by experience or observation, knowledge gained by perception, okay? The other one is gnosis, where you understand that word. It speaks of relational knowledge, knowledge, but in the context of a relationship, not always, but most of the time. And then there's epinosis, speaks of full or true knowledge. And those are the words that are usually translated knowledge in the New Testament from the Greek. And so with that in mind, from our passage here, and remember, there are crossovers in all those, so don't take it too narrow. Take it as the Lord intended. In our passage, the knowledge of Christ Jesus is gnosis. And I believe he's speaking of relational knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not that the Apostle Paul did not know about Jesus intellectually before he was saved. He said he chased those people that were following Christ, right? The way, right? He knew about Jesus. He knew about his followers. He had knowledge of Jesus Christ. He had knowledge. But he didn't know him. The Apostle Paul, when he was confronted by the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, he said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, right? He didn't know him. You know, if your wife calls you and says, who are you? You say, I'm Greg. Oh, yeah, I understand. I recognize you, right? He didn't know the Lord, but he had knowledge of him. You see, in a relationship, knowledge and relational knowledge is integral in that. You know, I can say something to the effect of, I know the president, right? I know about him. I have knowledge concerning him, but I do not have a relationship. I cannot call him and relate to him in the context of a relational knowledge. Now, that knowledge that I would have of the president or someone else that I don't personally know is not like the knowledge I have of my wife. I know her. We have a relationship. And how is it we grow in a relationship? We spend time together and we communicate with one another. Our hearts share with one another, right? That's how we relate to one another. And the same way is how we relate with the living God. If you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, we have His Spirit and we can now understand His Word. He speaks to us through His Word. We gain knowledge about that person. When you were dating, whatever it might be before you got married, you wanted to know this person better. So you communicated with them to understand who they were on the inside. And the same thing with the Lord, as we communicate with Him, we pray and rely on Him, we depend on Him, and we listen to His Word, we grow in that relational knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We grow in that knowledge. And so it's crucial that we're in the Word of God. And see, we can know Jesus, and we can grow in that relationship because He's opened that up to us. But the reality is, some will not grow in that relationship. They will choose to not value that relationship as much as they value other relationships or things in this world. Some Christians and their value system will not see Christ like Paul sees Christ here. And maybe that's you today. And the Lord wants to change our thinking because He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. But it's sin that's in the way. First of all, when we come to faith, but also as we walk with Him. You see, we can think we know Him, but if we're not communicating with Him truly, listening to His Word, truly responding, truly a heart that is yielded to Him as He speaks to us through His Word, then we're just fooling ourselves. You see, we can know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mentioned this passage earlier, but let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. There are people who will say, I know Jesus, in a sense. They believe they have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Some of you today might be in this camp where you believe you do, but one thing is still in the way. And you can't have a relationship till that thing is out of the way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That means you've got a changed heart and you're obeying the Lord. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. They're talking like they know Him. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name and in Your name cast out demons, in Your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, you can't have a relationship with the Lord of heaven without having your sin dealt with. You have to have your sin forgiven. And once your sins are forgiven, the door is open for a relationship. We have the Spirit of God within us. And then we have the opportunity, if we value it as such, to get to know the Lord. And when you want to get to know someone, you want to know, what do they like? What do they value? When you get to know someone, in the Word of God, we see what God desires. We see His will. We see His values. We see what He wants. And we get to know Him that way by going in the Word and allowing Him to speak to us through that. And we grow in that knowledge of our Lord. And the Apostle Paul came to the right conclusion, as we're going to see, that the knowledge of Him, that relational knowledge and a real relationship, is more important than anything else. He says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, as He was praying in John 17, He shares, and this is eternal life. He's praying to the Father, that they might know Thee, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That's life, having a real relationship, a relational knowledge of the living God. He has opened Himself up to us, the God who gave Himself for us. Eternal life consists of this relational knowledge with the living God and the person of Jesus Christ, who brought it forth and made it possible by His death on the cross. And nothing surpasses that. He says, more than that, I count all things, back in Philippians 3:8, to be loss. Not only the stuff I counted as loss when I got saved, which I had to, I needed to throw all that religious junk out, but I count everything now as loss in view of the surpassing value, the hooper above value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The Apostle Paul knew Jesus intimately, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King of Kings. Jesus, God who took on human flesh and dwelt among us. Christ Jesus, Paul says, is my Lord. He's the Lord of all. So he rightfully counts everything as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. All is loss. Nothing compares to the far greater value of knowing Christ Jesus. Then we need to change our value systems, because we have a lot, I believe, that is much more valuable than knowing and walking in a relationship with the living God. Knowing Him and walking with Him day to day throughout the things of life, throughout the relations of life, throughout all the things we do in life, throughout all the circumstances in life. That's where we can know Him even better when things go bad. We're going to see later on, Paul was talking about the fellowship of His sufferings. That's where you really start to know Jesus better, when you're actually obeying Him and going through difficulties. You'll see that. So the Apostle Paul says nothing is better. So let me say this clearly. Salvation is about knowing the God who created you. It's about knowing Christ. Man is separated from God because of sin. Man is not in a relationship with God because of sin. But when we repent of our sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, we are forgiven and cleansed. We come into a relationship with the living God in which we can now know Him intimately. And just like any relationship, it takes time to grow in that relationship. But you're never going to grow in it if you don't value it, if you don't see it for the worth that it really, truly is. So how do you get to know somebody? Spend time with them. You communicate. In the context of confession of sin and prayer, we listen to His Word. We learn more about Him, who He is, and what His will is, what He desires, and what He's done. Now, some people are self-deceived about their time with Jesus. They kind of make up in their mind a relationship. You know, you hear people who think they have relationships with people and they're self-deceived, you know, in a physical sense, right? They think they might know somebody really well and they really don't. They're just kind of making it up in their heads. You know, don't do that with Jesus. Because the only way we know Him is not through our perception of Him, but through what He says about Himself and reveals about Himself in His Word. Don't fool yourself. It's only through the Word that we grow in relationship with Him. Turn again to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Hey, that's a desire. Grace and peace in the sphere of this relational knowledge of Jesus. Seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through what? The true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. He's granted us everything we need through the relationship we have with Him. You see, when I trust and abide in Jesus Christ, I have everything I need. When I believe His Word and I allow it to work in my heart, I have everything I need through this true relationship with the Lord through His Word. And He says here, for by these He has granted His precious and magnificent promises. Then skip to the end of the book, 2 Peter. You might remember when we went through this. 2 Peter 3, verse 17. After speaking of the scriptures that people distort and the danger of that, people take the difficult passages and twist them. Peter closes the book out this way. He says in 2 Peter 3, 17, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, the bad guys are going to twist stuff. They're going to twist the Word of God. Be on your guard lest you be carried away by the error of unprincipled men and you fall from your steadfastness. Don't let the twisters mess up the words so you fall in your relationship with the Lord, right? But instead, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Are you doing that? Are you growing? You can come here every day and grow in knowledge, book knowledge. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's got to be related to the Lord. You may know the Word back and forth. You've heard 900 sermons. You may know it. But the reality is, are you growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? A real relationship with Him. The bad guys get you in the stuff, even the Word stuff. But not in the God of the Word that speaks to you through His Word. He says, to Him be glory both now and in the day of eternity. Amen. You see, God has given us everything we need. And it's in the midst of a context through the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything you need for this life is entwined in a relationship with Jesus. trusting him, obeying him, listening to his word, learning about him, loving him with all your heart, mind, and soul, seeing him as more valuable than anything else. The Apostle Paul would pray this basically in Ephesians chapter 5 because we need to grow in it, right? We don't automatically become close to someone when we meet them, right? We learn and we learn about them, right? And here the Apostle Paul prays for that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And so you got to start to set your priorities in all the spheres of your life. That Christ is the priority in those spheres. And it includes all those areas of life. It includes those. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for the saints. Hey, you're true believers, Ephesians. You got faith in Jesus and that love for the brothers and sisters. You love them, right? You see them more important than yourself, right? He says here, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And then he starts to talk about what he's praying about. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, now you could translate this way, spiritual wisdom and revelation. That's really the best translation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That God would give you spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And it comes through the word of God. But it has to fall on soil that is good. It has to fall on soil that's not sin-soaked. It has to fall on soil that is confessing sin. It isn't holding things. It's got to fall on good soil. So when the Apostle Paul came to Christ, he counted those things before as loss. But then he says, now, more than that, all those words to make it so important. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And notice, guess what? He's not just a talker. He's going to say, guess what? I did lose it all. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. You see, it's one thing to say I'd give up everything for Christ. It's another thing to actually lose it for Christ. Right? It's one thing to say, I'll give up everything for Christ. And that's the right heart, if it's truly there. It's another thing to say that and actually lose it. Paul not only saw it as loss and not valuable, but he lost it. He actually lost it. Notice what he says in the middle of verse 8. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count it all as loss. View the surpassing value of knowing him, and I've lost it all. The term suffered the loss speaks of forfeiture. I forfeited it. Could have held on to it. I forfeited it. I counted it as loss, and I gave it up. I forfeited it. Now, he says he was caused to. The tense was passive. He didn't do it on his own. It was caused to happen. You see, when you're willing to do things in Christ, God sometimes brings those circumstances about, right?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, how should we apply this message to our lives today?
Well, Dave, the most important application to today's message is to take an honest assessment of where our hearts are before the Lord. Do we really have a true relational knowledge of Jesus Christ? You see, you can only come into a relationship with Jesus through having your sins forgiven. You need to trust in Jesus Christ, believing you're a sinner, believe that he died on the cross and rose from the dead, And if you trust in him and you call upon him to save you, you will begin a true relationship with the living God. And then at that point, you can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus as you allow his word by his spirit to change your heart and give you understanding concerning this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.